My story, my challenge. Something has got to change. In many of our homes sits a much-loved recliner that has seen better days. There are stains, holes, and parts that don't work anymore. At some point, we will have some decisions to make about our well-worn recliner. We can abandon it and look for a newer and better recliner. We can accept it the way it is now and just use it until it falls apart. Or we can fix it, but it will take some effort. There is nothing necessarily wrong with us just enjoying the comfortable old recliner we love to sit in, but at some point we're going to need to get out of it before it collapses under us. This recliner reminds me of many of the people I come in contact with. Some know things are broken, but they choose to just sit there until life collapses. Others have abandoned their old recliner, the things they once trusted, and are searching for the next latest and greatest thing. Others are trying to fix their lives by themselves. The problem is, they're not capable of fixing their lives by themselves. Only God can give us new life. In fact, He wants to give us new life right now. Paul described this new life God wants to give us in Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The word transformed refers to the process a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. You know, life is good when you're a caterpillar. There isn't a lot of pressure or stress, crawling along, enjoying life, eating leaves. Yet something deep inside drives his desire for something greater in life. This desire moves him to build a cocoon and endure the painful process of change. The end result is something of magnificent beauty and grace. Within each of us, God has placed a desire to do something great. I believe this is true for a church as well. When I served in my first full-time church, I remember the desire to take the city for Christ. I believed I could do anything with God's help. Those early days of ministry remind me of the story of Jesus with the children in Mark 10:13-16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. Sometimes I wonder what happens to our childlike faith. Reality has a way of making us see that things aren't quite that easy. Do we have to stop dreaming just because reality hits us hard? A childlike faith can spur new ideas and thoughts about God and our world. I would be the first to admit how much I have learned from my own children. Their faith believes that anything is possible with Christ. It is a faith that believes that lives can change, mountains can move, and miracles can happen. When I was a child, I would lay on the cool concrete of my driveway so I could stare up into the sky and wonder what great adventures were ahead for me. I envisioned myself as a hero saving the world. I was the swashbuckling Sinbad on an adventure. My imagination would make me the general of a great army defeating the foes of my country. I had no problem imagining that I could do anything. One problem with my dreams as a child is that most of them were selfish. I was always the hero, with the action revolving around me. For many churches, we have become selfish and impatient in our dreams. We want instant success. We want it to happen in our church right now. Next week is too late. We see that in how most churches evaluate success. The questions we ask focus on how many we baptized last year, and if we're on a pace to top that this year, or comparing attendance from last week to this week. We believe that dreams have to be realized in our lifetime. Most real change in this world happens over generations. For example, when the signers of the Declaration of Independence added their names to that document, many knew this was only the start. In the Bible, many in the Old and New Testaments would never see their dreams fulfilled in their lifetime. Moses led his people out of Egypt, but he didn't make it to the Promised Land. The disciples saw only a glimpse of what the gospel would do in our world before they died. There's nothing wrong with setting goals that we can enjoy during our lives, but at some point that is a tad short-sighted. I care what the future has for my children and my children's children. I want my life and ministry to count not just for now, but for generations to come. Too often we spend most of our time focused on accomplishing short-term goals or personal goals and rarely go beyond ourselves. We forget that this world doesn't revolve around us and what we want to experience here and now. A challenge to change. Most of us start out with dreams of grandeur. Then when we encounter the dream killers of life, they come in the form of difficult people, tragedies we can't explain, and people wounded by life who want to make sure everyone else suffers. There are simply too many to list. The dream killers haunt us and put fear into our lives that fool us into never dreaming again. We settle for things that are good, but we forget about taking on the great things that only God could do. In too many churches and too many Bible study ministries, we settle for good when God wants us to accomplish the great. That has got to change. I believe change happens for lots of reasons. Sometimes change is forced on us. In my own life, I was 14 years old when my mother died of a cerebral hemorrhage. That change was thrust on me. What 14-year-old would willingly subject oneself to that reality? Other times, change comes out of necessity. Every new job I took required that I uproot my family and move. We had to buy a new home, make new friends, and learn a new city and culture. We had a choice, but that choice forces a lot of other decisions and impacts a lot of other people. Now that I have a wife and 2 children, the ramifications of that decision are thought through much more carefully these days. Then sometimes change comes out of boredom or a desire to do something different. Sometimes we get tired of life happening around us. We decide that now we want to make some decisions about our own lives. This feeling is what adds fuel to a midlife crisis. But the best change comes as a result of a God-given passion or desire. When these kinds of change happen, there is a fresh urgency and willingness to take the risk. It takes hard work. Remember our recliner? It will take some effort for us to fix it. Suppose I offered you a free car and then explained that all you would need to do is to go to Canada to get it. What would you say? Some of us would say, "No, thank you." Others would want to know all the details of what kind of car it was and what kind of shape it was in. Still others would figure out how much it would cost to get to Canada, factor in the value of the car, and see if the benefits outweigh the costs. Lastly, there would be those who desperately need a car and would make whatever sacrifices necessary to go to Canada to get that car. All of the options are viable, but your response basically boils down to how desperate you are for a car. In life, I meet too many people who don't know desperate. They don't want anything bad enough to go to great lengths to get it. We live in a culture where we feel we are owed something. If it is too much effort to get, we either complain about how unfair life is, or we simply don't even try. Unfortunately, the church is not immune from this lack of desperation. Too many churches are either apathetic to what God wants them to be and do, or they simply are too lazy to make it happen. They would rather sit and complain than get up and get after it. When I played high school football, my father used to talk about the killer instinct. That was when you wanted something bad enough, no matter the obstacles, you ran over or through them. That was how you made the great plays. That's the running back who gains 5 yards, even when he was hit behind the line of scrimmage. That's the defensive end that makes it through two blockers to get to the quarterback. These players are motivated by something deep within them to go after it at all cost. Let me ask you some hard questions that I have been asking myself. How badly do you want to see people reach for Christ? How desperate are you to see God use you to help everyone around you to be involved in kingdom work? Do you desire to see God truly worshiped in spirit and truth? What keeps you from doing the hard work that will last beyond your lifetime? Join me. I want to invite you on a journey. This journey will involve looking at our purpose and focusing our attention on the things that help us accomplish great things for God in this lifetime and beyond. As with any journey, it will take some effort and adjustment. Our journey will be about more than leaving a legacy or feeling good about life. It will be about bringing God glory as we intentionally use our gifts to accomplish things beyond ourselves. It will require all of us doing this work together. It's time to move forward.